I think some people got this idea that I'm Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City and I've got these amazing, super duper organized wardrobes. But my house is a disaster. I have piles of clothes in almost every room. There are hats and shoes in about four rooms in the house. I seriously need help.
Reloved Radio, a podcast sharing inspirational stories about pre-loved fashion.
Hey, Relovers. Welcome to Reloved Radio, your go-to podcast for sustainable fashion stories. I'm your host, Chrissy Dunn, and today I'm chatting to Michelle Trebilco, who, in the words of her followers, has been described as unbelievably creative, witty and stylish, a national treasure, an amazing style queen who could make a Hessian sack look glam, and as having the best pins in Melbourne. Michelle runs the vibrant Facebook page Veteran Vamp, a thriftalicious fashionista, where she celebrates recycled fashion and shares invaluable tips on how to rock entirely secondhand ensembles with flair and confidence. With a knack for blending bold colours, clashing patterns, and a touch of 80s nostalgia, Michelle's creations are nothing short of magical. Each outfit tells a story of creativity, sustainability, and individuality, inspiring us all to rethink our relationship with fashion and the planet. Welcome to Reloved Radio, Michelle.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am unworthy. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what you do, what you love.
Well, I'm not that exciting. My previous career was a university administrator. I've never worked in fashion, though a lot of people seem to think I should have and should. I'm not very interesting at all. It's only since my fashion has taken off and I've had green hair that I've become more interesting. So I don't have an interesting background.
What about your journey into sustainable fashion and upcycling? How did that come about?
Well, I think I've probably been upcycling for over 20 years. And I think I started in earnest when my son was a baby, because baby clothes at op shops are of good quality, as kids grow so quickly. And I think after searching for clothes for him, I then started looking around for stuff for me. And I joined an op shop Facebook page called I Love to Op Shop. And I started posting pictures of the clothes that I had purchased secondhand, but without me in them, because I didn't like having photos taken of me back then. I would only allow photos to be taken of me from the neck down. That's how much I hated my head. Anyway, the people on the op shop page asked me to put myself in the outfits. So I started doing that, and then I got more and more fans and more encouragement. So I was doing it more and more. And I ended up starting my own page at the request of my supporters on the I Love to Op Shop page, and I managed to secure 2,000 in the first week, thank God, because I was terrified nobody would follow it. I resisted for a very long time not to create my own page, but I ended up relenting, and now I have around almost 23,000 supporters, followers, whatever you want to call them.
That's incredible.
Well, it's not that good compared to real influencers and real fashionistas. I'm just a suburban fashionista. I'm nothing special. But I do have a lot of international followers, which I think is wonderful. So I can not only teach them about Aussie secondhand fashion, but Aussie nature and Aussie expressions, other things. I take photos of my walks, and I live up in the Dandenong Ranges. So there's always something beautiful to take a picture of. And I'm always asked what certain flower is, or they appreciate that too. Because nature, it's all about, it's similar to fashion. It's all about angle, position, lighting, texture.
I've noticed that your style often channels 80s vibes. Is there anything about that era that inspires you in particular?
I like all eras and all styles of clothing, not just 80s, because I believe that every era and every style has something to offer. And op shops have clothes in all eras and styles and from all over the world. I'm just a kid playing dress-ups.
Do you have a favourite?
A favourite era? No, I like it all. I don't want to be limited.
I love that, actually.
Well, it's a lot more fun, and fashion should be fun. That's the way I approach it.
Mixing unexpected pieces is a signature look in your wardrobe. Can you give us some examples of when you've combined unlikely items to make something fantastic?
Well, the unlikely is matching vintage gloves and hats with contemporary clothing, but I also add unconventional items like synthetic leaves, flowers, and one time I sewed some plastic coloured CD covers to a dress. Made it look a bit 60s spacey, if that makes sense. And I mix kids' clothes. I wear a lot of kids' clothes with adult clothes as well.
That would definitely bring an element of fun.
Yep. Kids' clothes are just so bright and full of fun. Yeah. Why should the kids have all the fun?
I know. I've quite often seen kids' clothes and thought, oh my gosh, I wish that was in my size because I would wear that.
Well, sometimes they are in your size. If you look, because it goes up to 16, teen 16. So you look 12, 14, 16, you might find something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great tip.
And often you find small adult things have been put incorrectly into the children. So that's another reason to look at the children's part.
Yeah, that is so good, actually, because I never really look in the kids' section. I'm going to be doing that from now on.
Well, last couple of weeks, I've got two adult size things from there. And what's really good, too, also about kids' clothing is if you can get a jumper, a hand-knitted jumper, because, of course, kids grow so quickly, so that's why they end up in op shops, don't it? I love hand-knitted things I love anything that's been handmade. And you find a lot of that at op shops too.
Yeah. And it'd be such good condition.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, you're not going to grow out of it, so.
That is so true.
It's a real score if you can find.
Yes.
I've got one with Dalmatians on it. It's just adorable. I love it.
I've totally been stalking your Facebook page. I can't stop scrolling. I'm just going through all the photos. Just amazing. Some of the pieces that you've found. So can you tell us about maybe a unique find that sparked an idea for one of your creations?
Yes. Well, that's pretty easy. The chocolate mold that I turned into a handbag.
Yes. That is incredible. Yeah.
I love that. So it's made of that soft, is it rubber or plastic? It's soft plastic.
Silicon.
But as soon as I saw it, because I didn't have a brown coloured handbag, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, I could fold it up and sew it up and turn it into a handbag. And so I sewed up the sides and then I inserted a zip in the top and sewed that in, and then I lined it with two hard bits of plastic so it sort of wouldn't collapse, if that makes sense. And then the handle was an op shop pendant. So it's quite effective.
How have you even thought to do that? It blows my mind.
I look for unusual things that I can turn into something else, particularly handbags.
What are some of the other ones? Some other handbags that you've done?
I use tins as handbags and as handles. I use headphones. You just glue the headphones to the side of it.
Oh, yeah. What a great idea.
Yeah, they make really good handles, actually. Yeah, one of my favourites. And also the retro style bone handpiece for phones.
Don't know if you know what I mean.
Like the big receiver.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Found a lot of those in op shops, and they make a good handle on handbags. But the way I approach it is, if you can carry it and put something in it, then it's a handbag. So it doesn't matter what else it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes life much more interesting. So I can be looking at objects. Yeah, I can look at objects and I'll see handbags, which aren't handbags, but that's what I see. I like having different things. I like having different things. But the other one, if I may tell you, I made a handbag out of it was a water filter jug. It was on hard waste. And I attached a towel ring to that one as a handle. It's one of my favourites too.
Let's talk about colour, because when you scroll through your Facebook page, it's just a rainbow. It's a beautiful, beautiful rainbow. Some people shy away from mixing colour and patterns, but anyone who looks at your Facebook page will know that you do not. You just dive right in there. Do you have any tips for people who might want to try that type of color mixing out but might feel a little bit unsure about it?
Well, bold colors are bright and happy to begin with. That's why I love colors. And with mixing patterns, generally that each of my pieces have the same colors, and that's what connects them, even though the patterns are different. I currently haven't got anything in the same patterns, but I would mix those also, and I would tie it all in by accessorizing in the same colors, if that makes sense. So if I had a skirt in a black and white pattern and a top in a pink and white pattern, I'd be putting black and white probably on the shoes and pink and white on the headpiece, or vice versa. And try all colors. Don't believe that story you've been told that you only suit one color, because perhaps you haven't found the right shade of the other colors. Don't limit yourself. It's too boring.
And we don't want to be boring. I love that your fashion sense is all about embracing individuality and not boring. What's your best advice to others to encourage them to express themselves through their clothing choices?
I believe you should dress up for the hell of it. No event required. Don't wait for that special occasion, which may never come. You have to get dressed every day anyway, so why not dress up? I only wear a lot of my outfits on my exercise walks. The footpath is my runway. Also, create an alter ego. Like, Veteran Vamp is my alter ego, and Veteran Vamp virtually wears anything she likes, whereas Michelle Tribilco may not. So all you have to do is say, well, it's not me wearing it, it's that other purse.
That is fabulous. And I totally agree with you. I'm a big believer in not saving things for best, you know, like wear your clothes.
Yes, I should. So that goes for everything, anything that you get, the crystal. You go to an op shop and get some nice crystal glasses and think, oh, that'll be nice, and we'll have special dinners. And then you end up not using them again. Use them every day.
What do you think is the most fun part of op shopping for you?
Finding really different things, finding handmade things. So that can be not just clothing. It can be artworks, find original artworks. And the fact that you can find something from anywhere in the world and from any era. And even if you make an impulsive buy, it doesn't matter so much, because the money is going to charity, not to some big commercial chain. So you don't need to feel guilty. That doesn't always work, but...
So do you have a lot of thrifted items around your home as well?
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. I think some people got this idea that I'm Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City and I've got these amazing, super-duper organised wardrobes. And wardrobes I use got filled up ages and ages ago. My house is a disaster. I have piles of clothes in almost every room. There are hats and shoes in about four rooms in the house. It's just, I seriously need help. And I sometimes wonder how I manage to conjure up outfits. But I tend to remember certain pieces. So I get something, I buy something new, and I think, when I say new, I mean from an off shop. And I already have in mind what I can put with it.
That's incredible. You must have an amazing memory for all the pieces that you own.
Not all of them, some of them. But then I have to find it. It's all very well knowing that I've got it, but then trying to find it. So I'm an absolute disaster, and there are so many people just wouldn't be able to cope with the state of my house. Anyway, at least I've got a good choice. That's why I can come up with so many outfits, I guess, because I've got so much to choose from.
That's right. You can look on the bright side.
Yes.
When you're incorporating your new secondhand items into your outfits, how do you breathe new life into them and make them your own?
By wearing them different ways, either back to front, and wearing strapless dresses, the skirts, and covering holes or stains with fabric flowers, buttons or transfers or whatever. Because what you do is, if you've got a hole on one side of the dress, you put a flower or a button over the hole and then put a matching button on the other side. So holes or stains don't worry me at all. But when you make these changes, you're personalising them, which is always nice.
Yeah. So you're ending up with a complete one-of-a-kind piece no one else has.
Yes.
Is there something in particular that inspired you to start making accessories from the secondhand treasures that you found?
I can't remember how or why I first started, to be quite honest. I do create weird artworks, but I haven't been doing much of those lately. I've been concentrating on headpieces and my weird handbags, which I enjoy doing. My latest headpiece was a placemat on a headband. It was, I have to describe it, it's circular with sort of holes cut out. That's the best way to describe it. Sort of geometric. So I sort of tilted it. It sits at an angle. It works quite really well as a headpiece.
Have you ever thought about taking your ensembles that you come up with to fashions on the field?
No, I couldn't think of anything worse. I'm not up to that, Stan. I'd be terrified, absolutely terrified. I think previous winners, I'm sure there hasn't been an op-shopped outfit, but I that's one thing I don't have the confidence to do.
What do you find the most rewarding about upcycling and creating from secondhand materials?
Sense of achievement, I guess, in making outfits and or accessories into virtually artworks. That's what my ensembles are to me. And that's why it takes a while to put them all together.
When you're on the hunt for materials, how do you go about finding just the right pieces? Do you have something in mind, or is it more that when you see something, you're inspired and you sort of think, oh, I could make this. How does it work for you?
Yes, I don't look for anything in particular. I just look for something interesting, which I can repurpose. You said mainly hats and handbags. As for clothes, I look for different bit out there designs, but I do love vintage as well.
It's so much better to go in with an open mind and not specifically looking for a particular thing, because I never find that particular thing. I only find that particular thing when I'm not looking for it.
Oh, but you might find something better.
Exactly. That is so true. Can you share a few of your favourite success stories or memorable moments from your fashion journey?
I created a headpiece using a mask, a full face mask. I don't know what it's made of. I don't think it's porcelain, but, you know, it's all white and painted, if you know what I mean.
And like a masquerade mask.
Not quite. It doesn't have all the, just mainly the face, maybe a ruffle around the face, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I attached that to a headband to go to a hat ball, and I won most innovative hat.
Oh, wow.
So that was exciting. And I was also commissioned to make a headpiece for another event. And it's one thing just to make them as you think of them, but when you're actually asked to make one, what am I going to do? Fortunately, I did manage to make one, and it was very well received.
Yeah, amazing. How do you keep your creativity flowing?
I don't know. It only starts when I see something interesting.
So that's the catalyst, finding something in an op shop?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Definitely. I'm always looking. I got something. I'm not sure what it is yesterday, which I'm going to turn into a hat. I know it's not supposed to be, but its shape is a hat. So, but definitely just looking.
Tell us about a time when you transformed an unexpected material into a fashion piece.
Right. Well, the one that stands out is the cone of shame that doggies have to wear after they've had operations so they won't scratch their wounds. I used it as a peplum over a skirt. So very sci-fi. This was during one of our 25 million lockdowns. And I did an outfit which I called COVID Apocalypse. And I had the plastic shield mask. And I also made a weird headpiece too. If I couldn't look, that was made of. But it was all white. And then I had the big plastic cone around my waist as a peplum over it. And I think I've used it as a collar too around me. So it's like Elizabethan collar, if you get what I mean. You can do that too. Of course, you can't move in it, but that's beside the point. fashion is supposed to be uncomfortable in some cases. Also, I've used a couple of cat toys as headpieces.
Well, some of those are pretty cute.
And giant spider legs. Put those on top of a hat as well. I just sort of arrange them. That's the best way to describe it. Just into an interesting shape because they bend. Uh-huh. So you can twist and turn and until you get an interesting shape. Another one for the headpiece, a doll torso on a hat base, which looks like a dress. So it's circular, if you can picture it. Also, I've made stoles or worn Kent Soft toys as stoles, if that makes sense.
Do you just take the like the stuffing or the beans out?
No, some of them have floppy sort of leg things, so you don't need to. And also scarves from soft to snake toys. So put a snake around my neck as a scarf.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I don't even think of doing these things. It's amazing.
Well, they're quite effective. I mean, and probably cheaper to buy a soft toy snake than it is to buy a scarf. And once again, it's individual.
Can you tell us about Matisse?
Oh, my dear boy. Well, we got Matisse because we so missed having a golden retriever in our lives. My previous Goldie Kalmar, she used to model hats and she had a huge following of her own. When I mentioned her passing on a Facebook page that I'm a member of, there were 7K responses, well, 7K likes and something, or 3 or 4K comments on a dog that people didn't know. That's how much they thought of her and loved her. And she was very placid. Hats had slipped down over her eyes. She wouldn't care. She'd just still sit there. And I think, well, most people love animals and it was fun to include her, and I still include her in a sense. I choose hats that she would have worn if she was still here, and I put that on the pillow that I have in her image, which stands next to me in the photos. And Matisse is there also, and I dress him up in scarves and ties.
Mm-hmm.
And he tolerates those. He doesn't like anything on his head. He shakes that off straight away.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few ties on him. He's obviously very accommodating.
Yeah, and he's very needy and very loving.
Yeah, I love seeing him in your photos.
He's a lovely boy.
Do you take your own photos? I know some of them are mirror selfies,
yeah,
but there's quite a lot of photos that you've taken outdoors. Are you taking your own photos or do you have someone who takes them for you?
No, my long-suffering husband takes them.
How does he feel about that?
Oh, look, he's very easygoing and I think he just accepts it now. I mean, there are some times when he said to me, haven't you got a picture yet? So that's when I know I've gone on too long, because normally it doesn't. Because I can't see the result until after he's taken the picture, I don't know how I should stand because angles are so important and things can look so different from different angles. Lighting. Sometimes I've tried photos outside, but the app looks terrible. I go inside into the laundry and it looks fine. So yeah, he's used to it.
And is he a fashion lover as well?
No. He wears t-shirts and shorts. We make quite an odd couple if we're out and about. He's all casual and I'm dressed up, but I don't care.
What a good husband. Do you have a favourite place for taking your photos?
The outfit determines where I take my photos. If it's generally just of one colour or only a couple of colours, I like to do the green backdrop, you know, trees or hedges or something. But if it's a bit more complex, I tend to do the garage door, because the garage door is a blank canvas.
Do people recognise you when you're out and about?
Yes.
In a good way, I hope.
Oh, yes, no. But some people have messaged me or commented on a post later that they saw me, but they never said hello. I said, oh, please say hello. One time, actually, it was when I was in hospital after I broke my wrist. Some person was going, VV, VV, and I thought she was saying, baby. So I didn't answer at all. Then I suddenly realised that she meant me. And one lady, she was across the street from me, and she just started yelling out, "Michelle, Michelle!" And it was very funny, and she apologised for being so over-exuberant. And I found out she lived in Perth, but she'd come over from New Zealand as a shearer. Most interesting person. And so I invited her for tea. She came to a cup of tea the next day. And that I was love all that. Just chance encounter. Oh, you know, it's nice to meet people. I mean, how interesting was that? She was great. Yes. Lots of fun. As I said, fashion should be fun.
I agree. Do you have a best bargain brag? So this can be something that you've purchased secondhand.
Yes.
I'd love to hear about it.
Yep. Okay. Gianni Versace dress.
Wow.
The original Gianni Versace for $7 from Bayswater Salvos. Now, I didn't look at the label because the label wasn't, before I bought it, I didn't look at the label. The label wasn't at the neck. It was actually in the side, but I just liked the print of it. Now, I didn't know it was Versace, so that shows you what a useless fashionista I am. On the train going home after buying the dress, I did look inside of the label, and that's when I saw that it was Versace. So I took a picture of it and the print of my dress and sent it to my friend Sonia, who's very au fait with all the designers. And she said, yep. She said, I'm pretty sure that's a genuine GF.
What a find.
So I can only imagine the person who priced it didn't look at the seam for a label either, like me. And the other one was vintage Yves Saint Laurent sunglasses, which I got for, I think it was around $6 from Baronia Salvos. But I don't look for designer things. I wear anything. I wear cheap costume stuff. I'm not precious. As I've said before, I'll wear things with holes and stains because I can fix them up, cover them up.
I love everything that you've told me today. It's been fantastic chatting with you. Where can people find you?
I am on Instagram, but I never post on it. So it would be pointless going there. My Facebook page is Veteran Vamp, a thriftylicious fashionista.
I'll make sure that I have that linked for everyone in the show notes.
And it's not all just about me. I post photos of people, other people whose style I admire. I have regulars that I post every week. And I often post photos of interesting, colourful people I encounter when I'm out and about, because I find that my followers like to see just normal people looking cool, if that makes sense. And I also post photos of my nature walks and also lots of pictures of Matisse.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Thanks for listening to Reloved Radio. You can find the show notes from today's episode on the website www.relovedradio.com.au. And that's also where you can download my handpicked list of places to shop secondhand online in Australia. It features over 85 of the best online op shops, charity stores, vintage specialists, secondhand retailers, pre-loved luxury and designer fashion, ex-rental sales, and more. And it's free to download.